Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Psychosocial Distancing Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Chadbourne. With me, as always, is Thomas Brooks.
We're back.
I never know if it's a delay on our
With
end.
some.
Oh, I guess it is a delay on our end. I was going to say, I never know if it's a
Oh,
delay on
right.
our end or if you just always like pause before you say hello.
No. It's for the effect.
Okay.
Like and subscribe.
Yes. Smash that like button. I don't know what Spotify has. I know what YouTube has, but whatever Spotify has, click it. Give us some star ratings, whatever it is. Who, I don't know. To the handful of people who will listen to this. So we're finishing up our discussion on RMPA 2023, kind of a retrospective of some of these great interviews and sort of this interesting research that we got to delve into while we were there this spring. And we're kind of going to conclude with the kind of these last two interviews, last two pieces of this supercut on religiously identified women and MLMs. So the calling to MLMs, usually through like Facebook and other groups, and kind of how that mimics the call to religion, as well as social media propaganda and national identity. And so the first one was with Alexa Jane and Bailey Underhill. And then the one on social media propaganda was with Dylan Jensen, Josh Nemelka, and Dr. Julie Penn. And again, both really interesting from kind of that social identity standpoint. That's kind of, I think, what we want to focus on in our retrospect is talking a little bit about online identities and how they kind of drive people to different things, whether it be MLMs through religious identity or maybe the belief in propaganda or willingness to kind of go down that propaganda road with national and political identity, or the vice versa. A national or propaganda might increase that, or how identity and political identity might increase the effect of that propaganda, and so on.
Yeah. These two interviews I think paired really well because kind of like going with themes from our last episodes, and really the podcast as a whole is like this crisis of meaning and like social isolation. And this idea that like wanting to place yourself within the like overarching narrative of either a religious structure or with nationalism is kind of like this theme that like people have been, everyone from like lowly podcasts such as ourselves up to like CNN and Fox News, and like even scholars are like trying to formulate what it means to like be live in a meaningless society and like what the outcomes and possible dangers of that might be. And so I think these two pieces of research really exemplify that like these identities are really commodities up for sale for people who don't otherwise have some sort of like life purpose or meaning. And so if you are a religiously oriented person who doesn't really get your like meaning making or feel like you're actually contributing to society or to the like cause of Jesus Christ or whatever, then the MLM then becomes a method for you to like behaviorally engage in that like meaning making process. Kind of similarly with like nationalism, you know, you start with like, I'm just kind of floating to, oh, maybe my national identity is something that's important to me through this propaganda, which then triggers a set of behaviors that then reinforce that identity and belief system. And so, and in both cases, like the people who buy into this are, you know, being exploited. Like with the MLM we've talked about is, you know, you're going to be in the hole financially if you make those decisions. And then with the nationalist identity, like you're propping up a online like content creator through the attention economy at that point. And it's not necessarily about you, it's about them getting clicks and likes and viewership on their page and shares, so that way they can make more money.
Well, I'd even argue that, like, in a modern political sense, it's beneficial for some politicians to just play that clickbaity, but they're doing it all in real time. So they don't really have a platform. They just have a target and they're building it up. And ultimately, like the MLM, their followers, their supporters are in the hole because they're either donating consistently. And I'm saying this at a time where tomorrow, ex-president, former president, Trump is going to his arraignment. And 2 hours after his indictment, they were sending out fundraising emails. Hey, help us fight against this, like, corrupt, you know, these corrupt charges and these baseless charges, and, like, give us all your money so that we can fight this. And I'm who knows how much he made, but I'm guessing it was not an insignificant amount. And in the same way that we're seeing in the same way we're seeing a lot of these politicians who they'll go out there and they'll pass bills and they'll put stuff forward and it doesn't do anything. I mean, it hurts some people, mm-hmm. but doesn't actually do anything positive for their supporters. They're not benefiting their lives. They're not helping them in any way. In many cases, their supporters are going to be on the losing end because their supporters aren't mm-hmm. rich politicians or business people. Like, they aren't part of that class that's exploiting the commodity of identity. Just like the MLMs work in that sort of, I don't know, triangular structure. The people at the top benefit. The people at the bottom are exploited. That identity is built up and they lose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I saw this. So Jordan and I watched Shiny Beautiful People or Beautiful Shiny People last night. It's a new Amazon miniseries that came out on the Duggar family.
Yeah, that's probably why I'm not going to watch it. But I know enough about them.
It was insane because they curate fundamentalist, queerful Christian identities so that Bill Gothard could profit. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, like, and the people that are in this, like, Gothard circle are typically Southern and poor and don't have a lot of options, and they just want to, like, have some sort of, they want to feel like they're doing something positive for their families. And so they get into this, like, spiral of, like, getting constantly exploited by this corporation while the Duggars, like, present this, like, very happy propaganda TLC series. And it's the same story, right? Like, oh, I guess we're going to homeschool now and we're going to use all of Gothard's, like, curriculum.
Yeah.
Yep. And then next thing you know, your oldest daughter is up in HQ getting sexually harassed by Gothard. So, like,
yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, again, it's that, like, it's manufactured identity. I mean, the identity is real for the people involved mm-hmm. because, like, the concept of social identity, it's real for the person who holds that identity.
It doesn't matter where it comes from.
Right. But it is manufactured to sell. I think much in, like, the modern sense of, like, the modern, I was reading an article this morning on, there's the big conservative, like, young women's conference going on, who, like, the biggest speaker there is Charlie Kirk, who's a guy. And he was mm-hmm. asked by, like, one of the leaders there, who, like, and so this is someone who is at, like, a prestigious university. She wants to become a surgeon. Charlie Kirk dropped out. And she's asking him, I want to become a surgeon, but, like, how do I reconcile, like, becoming a surgeon and also, like, wanting to live to this, like, trad wife identity? And he's like, you better choose, sister. Like, you gotta pick. You know, you gotta pick one because you can't have both. You can't be both. You can't be both the girl boss. I mean, unless you are, like, Mary Kay, Like, unless you're at the top, you can't be girl boss and trad wife. You can only be one.
Yep.
But they kind of exploit each other with that. And it just reminded me of that kind of like the religious filtration through MLMs and that kind of like the language and the identity and that search for meaning. Because what if you're not getting meaning from like being that person who has to manage an entire household by yourself? Because like your husband lives up to that like traditional husband role and doesn't do the dishes and doesn't help with the kids and doesn't change diapers and pulls in some money, but like is in charge. And even though the Duggars put on a really good persona of how nice that is, we also know the other issues that can come with that. And that are allowed or covered up.
I learned in that series that the Jim Bob got all the money from that show and none of the kids were paid, even as adults on the show.
That doesn't surprise me. And they probably completely agreed with it 100% because that is the world in which their identity lives in. And that's why I think the MLMs too, like that calling promotes that aspect. And because they're not getting meaning from going to church every Sunday, which like they should be. Like if their church is what it's supposed to be, they should be gaining meaning from that. And they're not getting meaning from their family, but they should be, because that's what they're told. Like they're told that they should be able to get all this meaning from like all this work that they're doing at home and this stuff at home. And so they look for other ways, or they look for ways to like make a little money on their own, because like dad's taking in all the cash and he's doling out a little bit here and there. But you know, trad wife doesn't
if
make
there's
cash
any
on the
money
side
to dole out. If there's any like money to dole out too, because typically like dad's probably making all the money, but it's probably all going to bills.
Yeah.
And so I mean, there is no wiggle room for emergencies.
And the single family household just doesn't cut it anymore because of kind of, and then like, I think that's what also brings us into that national identity. So then the people exploiting you on the religious side come back on the political side and say like, you know how hard it is right now? Like, it's hard. Like you can't make ends meet on your own, but like you have to keep up with this consistent lifestyle. And you can't make ends meet on your own. And that's those people. It's the non-white people. It's the LGBTQ people. It's whatever enemy there. It's the immigrants coming in. So we're going to pass these laws. It's not your boss who's not paying you enough for exploiting your labor. It's not your boss who's been, you know, it's not the CEO that's making more money compared to something like 300 plus times the average worker, when it used to be like in the 50s, like 25, 30, 40, maybe in 50 at the highest end times what the average worker was making. But we're seeing this 300-400 times now. And it's but no, it's not that. I'm not gonna take us too far down that path just yet, or in this episode. But it ties into that aspect of like building that identity to then exploit you, so that as your business owners, as your politicians, as whoever, they can continue to exploit you by touching on that identity, by giving you that propaganda, because that propaganda is rampant in the MLM circles. It's rampant in the fundamentalist circles. And they're fighting back against it hard. That's why we're seeing this huge shift in a lot of bills and stuff, and the kind of constant fights against education, which have been going on for decades. We've all been a bunch
of... I would even argue, because this is like, this identity tactic is value neutral ultimately. I think it's like most explicitly seen with like the MLMs and like the nationalist and meme pages, right? But like it also happens like the squad, quote unquote, in Congress also utilizes this like heavily. Like, we don't have universal healthcare, but their emails sure are going to tell you that we are on the precipice at all times.
Yeah, it was actually, I think, one of the big concerns with the strike down of Roe v. Wade was, like, from a lot of political analysts, who are in the know were like, oh God, the Republicans are about to lose. And they did. I mean, they picked up a couple of seats in the House, but they should have picked up more than five.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in the end, did not see that massive pump, in votes. And again, it was because that identity, like the second we get healthcare, like universal healthcare, then the fight needs to shift to like, well, they're going to take it away to keep that identity right. aspect of it. Or you'll never see it because it's in the benefit of some of the people like who are like on the fringe fighting for it. They don't really want to see it go through. I would argue there was a lot of Republicans who did not want to see Roe v. Wade struck down because it weakens that identity. Oh, you got what you want. Okay, well, we have to either find a new target, a new enemy. We can't just use the same talking points that we've been using for the last 50 plus years. We have to like find something new. And then that's why it's one of the reasons why we see this sudden shift to like anti-trans bills. It's because we need to get people like, we need to get our side riled up. And I think you would see the same. I think it seems one-sided because I don't think Democrats use it as effectively in the same way. As
Democrats are
season.
Fairly ineffective at politics in general. So.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. But like you'll see it with progressives. So I think like Bernie Sanders is really effective at it because there are these big issues that, you know, he seems to be like one man against the world. And I think that really ties into a lot of those identity aspects with like those hardcore Bernie followers that we saw in the last couple of elections. Mm-hmm. The squad gets that, but they're still relatively small in terms of, I think you still see more of the reverse because they're relatively small when it's compared to other Democrats. I think you see the reverse of like, we're fighting against the squad. We're fighting against these socialists like Bernie Sanders, because there's a much more, I think, like cohesive, like religious. I mean, I guess it is kind of the nature of, I guess, conservatism, though, right? It's like wanting to go back. Or keep things in a status quo. And I think it's easier to just keep people at a status quo and to say no than it is to try to implement change. So you have a much more fractured group within the like liberal circles.
Right. Yeah, I know. Cause like that's what the two-party consensus is that there is no movement in either direction because then those politicians actually have to like do something and then like change rhetoric and actually manage identities they're not paid to do that.
No, there's a lot of money. I mean, there's a lot of money in just running for office, like for like high office. The people who know that they're not going to win, they run because there's a lot of money in it. There's a lot of money when you lose, you can then kind of like consolidate all that money you didn't use that you fundraised for. Yeah, but you also like have to have some capital to start. And so you also see that the people who are running tend to be people who are kind of within those circles, within corporate circles, within legal circles. They're not your average, usually. There are counterexamples, but they're not like your average person. Your average person can't do it because they're stuck trying to make ends meet on a single parent household with 10 kids at home.
Right.
That person's not running.
They were
for Congress.
Told to have as many quivers in your as many quivers as possible for the word of God or whatever they say.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that's all just sort of tied to the same thing. We're looking at how groups utilize identity. And I mean, we could go a step further. I mean, we can get to like the national identity and talk about these same methods are still used by the KKK and white supremacist groups. They go to you and they say, hey, like you're having trouble holding a job or you haven't gotten paid in a while. It's not people like us. Like we're on the same team. It's these other people. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about the real causes of this problem. And then you end up with like literal Nazis protesting outside of Disney World. it's not that big of a jump when we're talking about identity.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm a little
skeptical of these online identities and how they manifest in the real world. So like, yes, literal Nazis in front of like Disney World, but I would probably argue that these are cosplay Nazis. Like,
oh, I mean,
they're not going to enact any sort of like ethno-state changes, just in the same way that your like socialist identified like Twitter user is not going to like make any meaningful change towards universal healthcare. Like, it's literally there to keep people frozen in this like identity that they pull meaning from without actually engaging change in the world around them.
It's just, I mean, just like the nature of what we talked about with like finding meaning and stuff. It's to give this kind of like facade of meaning, but not actually offer any real meaning. Though I will say every now and then something weird happens in those circles. Like, you do get someone who's like, I'm going to do it. It makes me think, right, of who was like the former leader of the Proud Boys was like half Hispanic or non-white and he got kicked out. And it was like, wait, what do you mean I'm getting kicked out, guys? And they're like, white ethno state, you're not welcome. But like that, damn, that's that group that kind of, again, takes it just a little step further. Cause they're kind of like a group like the KKK, where like, yeah, you can go online and cosplay and like feed into it, but then you kind of like suck it up and go to work and you don't tell anyone because you know that there's some social stigma around it. But like, if you got like 20 people with you or 50 people and they're going to go protest at this rally, like, you put on your mask to keep yourself hidden and you go and like march with them, or you meet up with them and go through their initiation rituals, which is to get beat up while naming cereal. Yeah, just like the KKK, once you start to break down their rituals, it does become a little comedic. One of the KKK ranks was actually known as like the Grand Goblin. Yeah, like, you want to be a goblin in the KKK? But it's...
But like, that would be... The KKK identity, though, actually did like exact political like change into the world. But
yeah,
the Proud Boys just exist to like have a little secret society that just like does cyberbullying and like beat each other up while they name cereal, and then they all like get the sense of meaning from it. But like, they're not like actively, beyond just like showing up at a rally and scaring people, they're not like actually causing the change in the American system whatsoever. What? They just kind of are controlled because they're...
But I would say, are they? Because like, we could say the same for something like QAnon, but like, we have self-described QAnon people who are like, may not like long-term effectively be affecting Congress, but like, are disrupting things enough to cause, like, to have power. Like, there are people who are being swayed by these groups. I mean, as like, Elon Musk is promoting people like this. Like, I mean, sure, his ultimate effect of buying Twitter has been pretty a loss in the grand scheme of things. But like, there are like, but like, we are seeing like him promoting like, not maybe not US politics, but helping to promote stuff like Turkish politics. And like, you know, misinformation in other countries, which does seem to possibly have an effect.
I would say that the landscape in other countries probably is more sensitive to these online groups manifesting in real life. But like, I think of like our dear friend of the show, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
And she's trying to do a
not friend of the show.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. Like, she literally exists to be a spectacle there.
I mean, but again, yeah, I guess that kind of ties into like what the modern identity system has become, like the use of political identity. She's there to be a spectacle, to rile up some political identity and make money.
Yep. But ultimately changes the course of the current, like, as we talked about, that bipartisan consensus of no change whatsoever. No, absolutely not. She would never have been put in that position had she been a real threat.
Yeah, which makes me wonder why, like, you know, they got rid of Madison Cawthorn.
What was up with that?
Maybe he was becoming a real threat.
That's what I think. Because he's a part of the Joshua generation, which is that homeschool like group that like tries to like influence like the halls of power in like very specific ways related to Bill Gothard's vision.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he was kicked out makes me think that, oh, there maybe was something going on there.
But there were a lot of people within that subgroup of some of the older politicians, at least, who are part of that, like, what are they called? There's a name for it, but they kind of want to see like revelations happen, basically.
Oh yeah.
And but I think they're a little different than the Gothard people.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know there's a difference. The Joshua generation is very they're losing steam because of Roe v. Wade getting repealed, actually, because that was kind of their main stick. But yeah, no, there is a separate group that's trying to like start get the rapture started, and they like put a bunch of money into suburbanizing the West Bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to watch some videos of the West Bank colonies, they look like American suburbias, and they've got like the Bob and Sherry Johnson like athletic complex in this like gated community, like
it's wild stuff.
Walmart.
yeah. I mean, I can go back to kind of like where I said I didn't want to get at the beginning, but like, I mean, it ultimately comes down to kind of again maintain that status quo. It's all kind of tied to, you know, the more and more I think about it, I know we've kind of had like some like guesses as to like why are we seeing all these trans bills and stuff like this, but it's the same thing that we saw with anti-feminist movements or the Roe v. Wade stuff. It's just to keep us fighting, because if we're, you know, if we're not fighting the, you know, if we're fighting the class war, then they're losing,
right?
So we can't be fighting the class war, we can't have class warfare. We have to have racial conflict or gender conflict or
sex conflict
or whatever it may be. We need to be fighting over that health, you know, we need to be fighting over the scraps like healthcare. Like, we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
We all know we can do it, or at least they all know we can do it. Some of us are tied up in our identities.
Right. No, keep use the exterior like mainstream news conflicts to keep people busy from actually like making changes in their lives and threatening the system.
And that's why we would rather
know that Ted Kaczynski...
Oh yeah, I heard Ted Kaczynski went. The headline I saw, our professors ran the headline, famous mathematician dies. Which someone brought up, if he would not have, like, even if he would have posted his manifesto, like, he could have gotten tenure and posted that manifesto all day. If he would have not sent bombs out, he would still be an influential person in, like what is it, economic and, like, ethics and stuff like that. He would be this influential person in that. If not, for the fact that he had to go and send bombs, like, he, like, went off the deep end. But, like, you know, grad school do that to people.
Well, you know my favorite conspiracy theory related to MK Ultra, right?
No. So did they MK Ultra, okay, like, so did they make Ted Kaczynski?
Allegedly, Ted Kaczynski was a subject in MK Ultra.
Oh.
I
mean, I know plenty about
and
MK
so
Ultra.
Was, Charles Manson was also allegedly a MK Ultra test subject.
So MK
like there's
Ultra.
A whole list of people that you go, why are they so crazy? And then there's always this little trail that goes back, and they're like, oh, they were a part of the MK Ultra as a test subject.
So like MK Ultra has created like the rise in serial killers?
Possibly. I'm trying to think who else is on, because there's a unofficial list of people. Let's see. That's a
we've moved way off topic.
We have moved. Let's see. Ken Kensey the author of One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was apparently one. Jerry Garcia, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Uh-huh.
He didn't go crazy. He just made Ted wild Kaczynski. Music. I mean, I'm sure there's just a list of, like, quote-unquote suspected people, right? Like, anyone were like...
So was... Oh, no, I think Jerry Garcia and Ken Kesey were actually documented subjects.
Oh, that's kind of wild.
Yeah. Ted Kaczynski, Saran Saran, who assassinated Robert F. Kennedy, is an alleged one.
Okay.
And then Charles Manson.
Wow.
Yeah. So my favorite conspiracy theory is that, like, all the crazy people of, like, the late 20th century... MK Ultra subjects that didn't die.
Interesting. And I mean, I'm sure that ties back to, like, secret, like, conspiracy theory or secret propaganda wanting to get us more interested in identifying with serial killers or afraid of our neighbors than actually working together. And I think of, like, the political landscape or the identities that go back to, like, the DARE program and don't eat the candy because, like, it might be something in it. Like, it's all most of it's, like, made up or overblown stuff. But, like, it keeps us scared. We have to have a boogeyman. We need some modern La Llorona.
Jim Jones is allegedly one of the experimenters of MK Ultra.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Let's see, what's the source?
Wild if true. I mean,
oh my god, it's a book.
Oh. Yeah.
By Michael Myers. I don't know if there's a relation to the director, but the book is called Was Jonestown a CIA Medical Experiment? A Review of the Evidence.
By Michael Myers.
By Michael Myers.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt.
On that note,
there's plenty of UFO books written.
Favorite conspiracy theory.
Yeah. So, but hey, you know, maybe that's, like, our interest in conspiracy theories and, like, serial killers and all that. It's much like the same thing. We are searching for some meaning and understanding about the world. And so it is commodified.
It all goes back to MK Ultra.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes back prior to that. Like, we were interested in that stuff long before. So, you know, it's like why Hitler sells on the History Channel. Like,
right.
So, yeah. On that weird note, though, so I guess we'll say goodbye.